You've made it. Blessings. Favor. Let's pray so we get quiet. Thank you, Father. You're the one we're celebrating today, Jesus. We thank you for coming, dying, raising, ascending, and giving us new life. New life. 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 New life. We receive it today. We believe it today. We honor you today. We give you praise. May this be a new ultimate worship for you. May this start a season of worship that lifts you up every moment that we're alive. Our hearts beating with your hearts and lifting up praise. You alone deserve it. None of us, no one else on earth. It's very simple. Jesus deserves our worship this morning and every day of our lives. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. O blessed Lamb once slain, will reign forevermore. His hands once bound, now save. Our God will never fail. I hope that's your God this morning. So we can say, our God will never fail. He's Lord, he is Lord. Sings my soul, he is Lord. And he lives, yes, he lives. I'm alive because Jesus lives. Those who have received him deep into their hearts. We get to review the fact that Jesus came back to life after dying for the sin of the entire world, past, present, and future. There is no sin, not even one of yours or one of mine, that has not already been paid for. It's already been paid for, taken care of. The debt has been paid. You don't owe anything. But if you don't take that certificate, that sacrifice, and wrap yourself around it for the rest of your life, then unfortunately, that payment doesn't apply to you. It's not in your account. Let it apply to you fully today. If you have a question about whether you know Jesus, it's time to have that question answered. So you know that payment is in your account. You know you have an account that's taken care of. No debt. No slips from the bank coming through because you're overdrawn. The enemy wants you overdrawn in the sin account. Jesus wants it paid, past, present, and future forever, so you can be truly free. 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 When Jesus says free, he means free. If you're not feeling free, that's not the kind of free he's talking about. How many know that? Okay, four. All right, good. We've got to start. He nailed it to the cross. Foods, are ya? It's okay. It's the day of resurrection. It's a happy day. A happy day. Oh, happy. No. It's a happy day. The greatest day in history. Yes. If you can't easily say you're free, then you're not. It's the truth. Some of you don't take the risk. Excuse me. Some of you don't believe the risk that God took for you. He's willing to set you free. Take the risk for doing that. And love you in the process. And believes it will be successful. Oh, but then I might choose to sin. He is counting on the fact that his love will overwhelm you. And that you'll start hating sin like he does. He takes a risk to set you free. And some of you are trying to beat yourself up for your sin. When he has set you free. He set you free. He means it. Free means free. You'll be better off if you step into the freedom than try to battle all the time against sin. Take it the right way. If you step into the freedom of Jesus, you'll love him so much, the battle will be won against sin. The battle will be won. Because when he said it is finished, he means it. So you see someone sinning, a fellow brother or sister sinning. Love, forgive, pray. But don't condemn, don't judge. Their sin has been paid for. They just haven't come to love Jesus enough yet. Show them how much you love Jesus. They'll follow your good example. Some will fall away, but there will be others that will want your relationship with Jesus. How about some fresh manna? Like midnight, last night manna. I needed to write a song about a risen king. And they have not practiced it. In fact, we had no... Every second I'm up here, I'm saying, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Messiah, the one that's come. HaMashiach, Yeshua, Savior, Jesus, Moshiach, Deliverer. Father, there are 700 names and titles of you that we need. And you're not holding them back this morning. You never hold them back. We just don't know you well enough to take advantage of all the names that are to bless us, favor us, watch over us. You are our banner. You're our healer. You're our deliverer. You're our savior. You're the true vine. You're the living word. You're the living water. You're the living bread. Jesus, you are the bright and morning star. You are truth, the life, the way. A person is the truth. A person is the life. A person is the way. And you are the resurrection and the life. You are, Lord. You're the Lion of Judah. You roar on our behalf. You are our strong tower. You're everything we need. Father, that's less than 25 names. That means there's 675 more names and titles that you will wrap us in. And you use your arms. You're not afraid to approach us and wrap your arms around us. That's why you gave us the name Abba. by giving us that name, by giving yourself that name for us to use, you said, come on in. Come on in. Get a little closer. Get a little closer. You're not close enough. I want you closer. You're treasure to me. I gave up the best of heaven for you. Come in a little closer. Draw in a little closer. In the spirit. And you may have to move your feet to get there. Draw in a little closer. I have what you need. I am what you need. In fact, just call me I am. And fill in the blank. Because I am all of those good things for you. Will you receive? First salvation, then sonship. Will you receive me as your payment? Then as your Savior and friend at the same time, glorious Lord, but not afraid to be called a friend, not afraid to be called Abba, Daddy, an intimate, close name. We draw into that closeness today. It's our only source of help. You are our source and supply, Jesus. If you didn't come back from the dead, where would we be? If you didn't come to live in us and save us, where would we be? If you didn't make payment for sin, where would we be? We truly would be lost. Fully, absolutely lost. But instead, there's the abundance of who you are, all 700 names and titles. And who knows if that's the end of the list. Because your thoughts towards us are like the sands of the seashore and the stars in the sky, and they're good thoughts, life-giving thoughts, so that we will live in you, breathe in you, walk in you, the very source of life. We thank you, God. You're so good to us. Those of us that are your children. And if there are those here that aren't, you call them home. Come home. Come home. Come home. To your Father's love. Your Father's love. Come home. Come home. To Abba Father's love. Abba Father's love. Jesus died on the cross for a purpose. To make payment for all the sin in us. When we bend our knee to him and receive him in as Savior and Lord, a transformation happens inside of our heart and the Holy Spirit comes to live. And we become part of God's family. Open up your heart to the Savior. Open up your heart to your Father. Receive him in. Receive him in. If there's anyone here that would like to receive Jesus today, you can say this simple prayer with me. And if you mean it in your heart, it doesn't matter really whether you follow my words. It's more whether your heart connects with the heartbeat of Jesus to save you. But pray this prayer with me if you want to receive him today, and then tell someone. Or if there's a time to say, yes, I received him today, then raise your hand and declare it Because every person here that knows Jesus wants you to come into the kingdom. So here's the prayer. Father, forgive me. I need your son, Jesus. I need the one who came to die for me and willingly went to the cross to pay for my sin. Yes, I have sinned against you, God, and I ask your forgiveness. I may have done this in the past, but it's been too long for me to really remember whether it stuck, whether it was real back then. So I receive you fresh today. I ask you, Jesus, to come and live inside of me through Holy Spirit. I believe you, Jesus. I receive you, Jesus, in your great gift of dying for me so I could know the Father. I receive you in. I believe I'm now a child of God, a child of the King. No more doubts. I will know on Easter 2013, I gave my life to you fully, completely, without reservation. I still have a lot of questions, but I know you're the answer, Jesus. Thank you for welcoming me into your family. I receive you, Jesus, and I will now say, I am your follower. You are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for the person or persons that prayed that prayer. God, come to them with your joy. Come to them, letting them know something has changed. And when the enemy comes and says, that was nothing, that didn't really happen, it didn't do anything, you aren't really saved, I pray they would hear your voice first, Holy Spirit, the one that says, you're mine, you're mine. And they would hear the heartbeat of Jesus, I am with you, I love you, I am with you, I love you, I am with you, I love you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Happy Easter, everyone. We have the Kingdom Kids coming. And these are kids that are world changers. These kids are going to be going to the nations with the love of Jesus. And they're going to change the world. And they're going to start in America in the schools. And we're so blessed today to present to you an act of worship. Their acting is worship. And their singing to the Lord is worship. And they want to present to you the empty tomb, followed by a worship song. But after we're done, we're going to watch a video. So what we're going to do, pastors just got back from Brazil. So we say, welcome home. And what we're going to do is show a short video from some highlights from Brazil. So what we would like the kids to do is go straight to their parents, watch the video with their families, and then after the video, we'll get undressed and release the kids to their classes. So this is called The Empty Tomb.
I'm not ready. Just start.
Just pretend.
He died on the cross just a few days earlier, and after he died, he was buried in a tomb.
Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene and some other women went to the tomb.
They saw that the stone had been rolled away. This astonished them, but there was something even more astonishing. The body of Jesus was not in the tomb.
The Lord away. I don't know where they've put him.
Mary came running to tell the disciples. She spoke with two of them named Simon, Peter, and John.
They have taken my Lord away. I don't know where they've put him.
Simon, Peter, and John started from the tomb. Both were running, but John outran Simon, Peter, and reached the tomb first.
He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in.
Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Then Simon Peter came running along behind the street into the tomb. He saw the strips lying there, as well as the cloth that has been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in place, separate from the linen.
Finally, John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. But they still did not understand the scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead.
Then the disciples went back to where they were staying, outside the tomb crying.
As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one of them at the head and the other at the foot. They spoke to her.
They have taken my Lord away. I don't know where they have put him.
At this, Mary turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize yet that it was Jesus. She thought perhaps the man she saw was the gardener.
Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?
Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where he is, and I'll go get him.
Mary.
Rabbi, my teacher.
Do not hold on to me, as I have not yet returned to my father, but instead go and tell my brothers that I am returning to my father and your father, to my God and your God.
Madeline went to the disciples with the news.
I've seen the Lord.
And she told them all the things that he had said to her.
Jesus is alive. Our God reigns forever.
Say, Jesus.
Jesus, you are the only way, my Savior, my Savior lives. Holy roar of God resound. What much waters cry before us now. Let's see what He has done for us. Tell the world of His great love. God is a God who saves. God is a God who saves. God arise. God arise. Our God.
Kids, we're going to have you go sit with your parents, and we're going to watch some amazing clips from Brazil.
Weren't they awesome? Amen. Good job, guys. We're so proud of you. Amen. Woo! Our Redeemer lives here in Ohio, in Brazil, all over the world. Wow, we are so amazed and excited this morning that we can share in just some of the amazing things that He's doing all over the world, because He is risen. Amen? He's risen. He's risen. So this is Resurrection Sunday. Some people say, well, we should have Resurrection Sunday every Sunday. And they're right. And we should be living in resurrection power every day. And they're right. But there's still something about a day of celebration that we come together and we come into a divine remembrance of what Jesus has done, who He is, what's going on today around the world, and what's really on His heart. And so with that in mind, we wanted to show you some of the clips or just a few highlights. I haven't seen this finished product yet, but there's a short little video here. We want you children to see this, because Pastor Bill and myself and Tiana and Troy just got back from an amazing time just with an explosion in Brazil. And this just gives you a little taste of what's coming for Brazil, and also us going there, continuing to go there. We have many plans in motion. even for the towards the end of this year and beyond, even before the end of this year. And we'll be sharing more about that later. But God is really moving. Every time we come back from a mission experience, we're even more energized than before. It was so great the day that we left, just feeling the power and prayer over all of us for what happened here at Frontline in this region in Ohio, as well as Brazil. And I know that momentum carried. And at the end, we were just absolutely amazed at the goodness of God and just knowing that we just stepped in and enjoyed a little bit of the trickle of his love and power compared to what's going on all over the world and what's still coming. So with that in mind, like I said, I haven't seen this finished product, so I don't know. I think there's some captions below. But should I explain? I'm not even sure how long it is. Should I explain as we go along, guys, or should we just... Where's Carly and Chana? Self-explanatory. Great. Well, just enjoy. Thank you. I like that. Okay. So these are some of the things, and then we'll release the children into kingdom land. But children, we want you to see these things because you're going to see a lot of children in Brazil as well as adults, but you're going to see the Lord touch them in marvelous ways and powerful ways. And we tried to just get some snippets because so many things happen. So with that in mind, let's just go ahead and watch Brazil mission trip, some of the highlights. Wow. Wow. Woo! Amen. That was pretty cool. There are much more behind that. Thanks, guys. You did a great job putting that together. Wow. We had an amazing team. And how many of you children want to go with us someday to another country? Come on, all the children in the house. That should be all of us, right? Yeah. Children of God. Amen. Well, children, this is just a little taste of some of the things that God's doing. So go ahead and go to your Kingdom Kids classes. And we're going to just share with the adults. Love these feathers. Nice. That's like, wow. So good to be back. For those of you who've not been to Brazil with us, in the very beginning, you saw a lot of little children and kind of a mess going on. And this is the mission house that's been established, that was established in 2006, 2007. And it, Iris Ministries had funded that, and we've been working with that and with them, with Pastor Jerseo in Heliopolis since that time. And our teams have been there numerous times. It's just been a delight. So we have deep relationship there. We've ministered there for the mission school in 2007, leading the evangelism, Pastor Bill and I, and also continued to go back and ministered to the children and to the adults, the drug addicts, the street folks, and whatever. And they're good friends of ours. And this is a place called Heliopolis. And we're seeing the Lord's glory break through. And it's been amazing. And we have a couple of young ones who were a lot smaller back in 2005 when we first started going. And they are connected with us, connected with Pastor Jerseo. And it was just fun to see them kind of come out of the woodworks when we went back again. So a couple of them are 20 now, 16, 18, 20, you know, the a little bit of the older ones. And there's other ones that just seem to surface and come into, hello, here I am again. But there are two in particular, Viviani and Bianca, two of the girls that stayed very close to us throughout the time we were here this last 3 weeks. And they're really the first fruit of what God has done to just kind of invade Brazil in the area of the favela, which is slum. It's a very desperate area, and God is doing amazing, amazing things there. And so to see these girls rise up and to see them minister with us, I don't know if some of you who know them know that they were in some of the skits that we were doing to try to present Jesus as we were having resurrection celebration, resurrection party. So we invited all these kids to come, and resurrection party was the theme or celebration. And we had food, and we had little gifts for them, and I'll show you about that or tell you about that in a minute. And then we had this amazing drama with Troy and Tiana, and I was narrating and speaking out what happened with Jesus coming and such, and many of the children gave their lives to Jesus. That part wasn't shown in the beginning. You saw another favela, which is called Ciudad de Dios, which is City of God, and that's the second one now in operation, and that's really moving quickly. But the first one with a lot of the kids is where we were initially established, and the children are pretty rowdy, and so you kind of keep them going, you know, to try to help them tie in a little bit. But towards the end, I asked them, any of you who would like to come and give your lives to Jesus, if you'd like to come up and be with us in the front. I sat down on the stage, not like this, but you saw it, and I sat down, and they came up very quietly. It had to be a miracle, believe me. These kids are just full of energy and life. And so they came up, and they sat here, or sat in front, and they prayed out and gave their lives to Jesus, and it was so, so precious. And another time, good job, guys. And another time, I think it was after that outreach, we were doing some, Pastor Bill was playing the guitar and working with kids, and I was doing some street preaching just kind of outside of the mission house, just telling everybody, hey, Jesus is here, he loves you, let's talk, come on. So we had some people come up and get saved. It was really cool. And some of the kids that were left over, so to speak, from a ministry time that we had there. I don't think it was the celebration. It was before that, right? Oh, thank you. These guys keep me on task with the order here. But anyway, there were a handful of kids in there, and they were watching what was going on. Pastor Bill's playing music, and we were preaching outside. And one of the young men is a drug addict, and Pastor Jerseo brought him inside to the mission house and talked with him, and he gave his life to Jesus. So I went up to him after that. Now, we're all just kind of at the end of the night. We've been doing street preaching and everything. And just put my hand on him, and he started shaking. Like you saw some of this going on. And then he just flattened on the floor because, you know, he was carrying things inside. He'd given his heart to Jesus, but he'd been carrying things inside that were going to rise up and try to hurt him. He wasn't quite aware that that was still, you know, an operation in him to whatever degree. So anyway, these kids were watching it, and it was a demonic deliverance, and the kids were right on top of this. And so that was new for them to see that. And we actually said, why don't you just kind of step over here? But it was pretty intense, you know, on the cement floor and everything. So it wasn't pretty, but the man was getting freed. And when they watched this, the children were just kind of, whoa. They saw power in action, and they saw the power of Jesus say, excuse me, not on my watch. It was very cool. And so the children, right after that, we said, children, this was, and I explained to them what I just said to you carefully. And I said, how many of you want to know Jesus? And they just went, bow, 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 bow. they ran to the, you know, close. And there was no, well, if you want to give your heart to Jesus and lay yourself down right now, forget it. You know, they had been around and everything else, and they were in the anointing, and it was easy. It was very simple. Of course I'll give my life to Jesus. It was so cool. And a really close friend, person of mine, we've been connected with since 2005, and she has lived a life of severe alcohol, drugs, prostitution, and everything on the street to take care of her kids. That would be her thinking or reasoning. She walked in just at that moment to see her kids give their lives to Jesus. It was so cool. I mean, the timing of God, he's just so on top of it. You're here for a reason today. There are family and friends here who are visiting, maybe to see the children, which is fine, some of you. But I just know that God is wanting to touch all of us in another way, even beyond that. He's really taking us into a new place of alignment. When we were going around to the churches, we went to and preached in a lot of different venues. We were in the slums, and then we were in the churches and in different places, you know, just saying, Lord, where do you want us to be? What we found at this time during this trip was that the Lord had amazing doors open. He always does when we go overseas. We just kind of walk through and go, that was so God, you know. Wow, I can't believe it. That's so, so God. And we stay in that state of awe. This time, I don't know. We always talk about upgrades, but this was another upgrade. This was, you know, go up the steps. You just keep walking through those doors. And then there was just this giant leap in the spirit. And it was incredible. Just an amazing, amazing leap in the spirit. As far as connecting us in with places that he has for us to continue to minister to, we're looking at having a very good-sized conference there in September. So we're going to be going back there in September. That's something that the Lord has put on our hearts. And actually, our host there had said, why don't we do this? This is a good idea. There's so many people that have been touched. They want more. So that's really exciting. So just another thing on the agenda of God that we had no idea about. And we have some other things in motion even for later on, a few months later, that we will tell you about soon. So just a lot of things in motion. When we stay open to God's design and God's plan for how he wants to set things up, it can look a little messy at times. And frankly, this year has been a little challenging because, you know, it's nice to have things in order a year in advance. Forget it. That didn't happen in a lot of areas. So it's like, Lord, will you please show me why? If it's me, I'll change. But there have been a lot of things that have shifted that have been because of his hand, and we wouldn't have known about some of those things had we not walked through the doors. And so I tell you these things for you to say, what about my life? What are you thinking about? What are you speaking to me about right now? When we look back at the connections that God has given us, it's for reasons beyond what we can see right now, beyond anything that we can totally understand. But he does, as we step through those opportunities, he does give us a little bit more light. And he gives us that point of reference that we can say, I see now. I didn't before. And so in that place of waiting for the Lord to reveal what the reason was, possibly, for this back here, he's saying, I want you to grow in my love. I want you to stay connected in my love. Because it may not look like something that you can wrap your arms around, or maybe just a little bit, but that's where hope is birthed. And this is a day, this is a season where the Lord is saying, I'm looking for those who are willing to birth, we all know what that means, things in the spirit that I have already designed before the foundations of the world. Where are my birthers? Where are those who will understand how to birth the good that I have already released and ordained, birth it right into the now? So the future becomes the now. Where are they? It's like, so what does that mean? Well, each one of us has a story. Each one of us has a song. Each one of us has a different way of looking at life, a different way of handling life. Isn't that true? But yes. But the Lord is saying, if you handle it with me and really take your hands off and let me just kind of blow you where I want in a way that still anchors you and tethers you to me, figure that one out, you can't go wrong. The Lord will not violate his own kingdom principles, but he will take them and say, so, now that you understand principles of living, will you allow me to show you how being led in my presence, by my presence, really looks? Amazing. We think, well, what does that have to do with life? Well, each one of us, as I said, we have a story, we have a song, we have something that God has given us. But it's not a general, and there it is. It does take form. God says, I am one who brings the significance from heaven to earth and brings it into looking like something. Where is she going with this? That sounds like a bunch of general hooey, huh? But it's not. If you take a look at what was actually shown up there, there is power released. When I put my hands on people, I'm a little person. I'm not trying to knock anybody over, and I don't. And when I touch them, it's very light. And it may look, you know, my arms are moving around, but there was power there that was touching people to in a way where they would experience things. We heard lots of things later, like, oh, when I was on the floor, I felt this shaking inside. I felt this power inside. I know there was a clip that that it was taken, this one place where there was amazing worship. We'll have to put that one back in, ladies, where the worship team was just playing. And as when I was finished preaching, I just turned around and touched them, and the worship team was going, bam, 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 bam. We didn't have any more worship. There was a girl, you know, it's kind of a problem, but not really. And there was a girl who was on the keys still, and she was still doing something. But I said, wow, now it's like Africa. They don't have the worship team. Come on, let's give our lives to Jesus. Not trying to be funny or, you know, cute or anything. It just really was what God had at that moment. And one of the worship leaders came up to me later. They had a reception down in the lower area for us. And she came up later, and he came up later, and he said, when I was playing the guitar and you touched me, he says, I went down and I don't understand. He says, there was this fire, this is what he said, this ball of fire going on the inside. And it was really cool, but I don't get it. And I said, I don't either. All I can say is, you know, the fire of God inside is doing something to change us and to reveal more of him. Many times to bring healing of the heart. Many times to bring healing of the body, many times just to experience, not just, but to experience his closeness, his love. There's just a lot of different reasons. And he's doing it. There was one, I'll give you one quick testimony, and we'll find that clip at some point. But one of those places, when we were finished, it was one where a lot of them were kind of going down like that. And I turned around, and the people said, would you pray for our youth? I said, sure. It was just, his power was really strong. So they lined up. I mean, they already lined up. It was kind of funny because we were just praying, and I just kind of looked, and there's this youth group of kids or something, long, just a long line. I looked at them like, what? Now what, God? You want me to go down a line, or what's the deal? He said, just tell them to link arms. I said, okay. So I said, link your arms. So they did. And I said, fire on all of you. And all of them, at the same time, went boom. I didn't touch it. It was the power, it was hearing what God was saying at the moment. You know, it's not to be a show person, I'm not. It's not to do anything other than just cooperate with his voice. I said, okay. I mean, we can say fire, you guys could all line up, and everybody's going, that was a cool word, I like that. But that's what God wanted to do. And they laid there, they stayed there. And it's like, what in the world are you doing? I don't know. We'll find out some of the testimonies later. But that's really cool, isn't it? To see that God has a plan and he's touching people in the ways that he wants to touch them. So it was very, very strong. A lot of visioning and regional visioning and release over many leaders. We had very, you know, intense communication with some heavyweights in the sense that they have major authority, if you will, in the areas of Sao Paulo, Brazil, and I think they said, if I'm not mistaken, 39 little cities around this major metropolitan area. And so we were able to travel to some of them and then meet some of the apostles over these regions and then minister in their places and to them as well. It was very, very strong. So yay, God. But one thing I wanted to read to you. Maybe I won't read it now. Maybe you can read it yourself since we don't need an interpreter. But you'll see when you go out, you can take one of these yellow little scrolls. And the Lord gave us a word from the Father for the children in Heliopolis and Ciudad de Dios before we did the resurrection celebration and party. And so Pastor Juseo came up and read it to the children. And for the little children, we said, take it home to your parents, and they can read it to you, or whoever is taking care of you, and other ones can read it. But it's a letter from the Father. It's a father's heart. It's called the Heart of the Father, and it's my heart for you, my dear and precious child. And that's what God gave us while we were in Brazil, typed it out, and then gave it away. And we just wanted you to have the English version, so make sure that you get one when you leave. You take one, okay? So that will be for you. Another thing that we gave them, this is an egg, as you can see. It's chocolate, and I threw it in my suitcase. But we gave one that was huge, like, I don't know, maybe like this? Big bulb. This is like baby bulb. And we went out and bought one for all the kids, because in the favela, all they think about is Easter bunnies, Easter rabbits, Easter, Easter. They hear that, and that's all. They're excited about candy and anything like that. They are clueless about the resurrection. And so when I spoke with them, and they still gave their lives to Jesus. Imagine that. And I told them, I said, you know, I said, this is really about Jesus. And I said, each one of you is going to get one of these larger ones. They were all given away, so I couldn't bring it home to show you. And we also had just read this letter. The kids had given their lives to Jesus, and or right before that. And I said, you know, we talk about bunnies and we talk about eggs. And I said, there is no Easter bunny. There's no Easter bunny. And I said, so I just wanted to let you know that we're giving you this egg because this egg is representing new life. And eggs don't come from bunnies anyway. They, you know, when they birth bunnies, they have bunnies. They don't. So that doesn't go together. So anyway, we told them that, but we're giving you this because this is what you can understand. So, and you'll like the chocolate. So we gave them one of these, and we told them that new life, that the egg reminds us of new life. And today, you have received new life in Jesus. And just as this egg is intended to hold this life that's forming, the Lord is wanting the full birthing of everything that you carry on the inside to come out. And they could understand that. And I said, so what kind of animals come out of eggs? And we got some of that. And I said, so that's a beginning of something being birthed. But God has life for you on the inside already of this egg. This represents you. And this is what God has for you. And more things than that. So it was really exciting. But it was the thrust of course, they wanted their egg, and they were pushing each other over to make sure I get an egg. So it was really good. But I wanted to just give an opportunity here to pray for anyone who might be sick, and also to highlight a couple things that the Lord gave me. I'm going to, that seems so far away. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's a little hint there. That's better. Yes, thanks, Tom. Just want to give a couple things to think about today. I know that Pastor Bill offered an invitation for people to give their lives to Jesus if they haven't known Jesus, or to recommit or rededicate their hearts and lives to the Lord. Something I want to say is just having a picture of this gal I was talking to you about in Heliopolis. And I've been into her home before. And she's been moved around, and she has five children, actually. Three are living with her now, and two older ones live with her mother in a different city. And back in 2005, 6, and 7, particularly, I spent more time in the place that she lived at that time with rats, big rats, running. You could see them walking the little planks, you know, in these slums. And she said she'd like to stay in bed because, you know, once they get into bed, because if you get out in the middle of the night, then the rats would bite their feet. And so just really not a good situation. And then she had connection with males, a lot of men, to be able to, in her mind, help support her family. And so we've tried different things for her, to offer her jobs and offer this and that and the other. And there have been times when there's been this up and down, up and down, up and down with her. This time, it was absolutely amazing because she was coming to see us, and she got word in the middle of giving her life back to Jesus, or to Jesus for the first time, maybe. Don't really know someone's heart. But she was praying and beginning to repent and saying, Lord, for all the things that I really have done or have been done to me, that I've harbored offense or unforgiveness on the inside or whatever, I am laying it down. More simply put, okay, in Portuguese, and my interpreter was taking care of that. And right in the middle of it, right in the middle of it, somebody runs in. Ha! Ha! Pedro is missing! Pedro is missing! Somebody took him! We think the police came! Oh! So she gets up and she runs out. It's like, holy moly, where, what? Duh. Right in the middle of repentance, you know, come on. So her seven-year-old son was somewhere. She didn't know where he was. And when she didn't know where he was in the favela, that's very dangerous. And so she was very, very frenzied. So she came back then a little bit later, And that's when she saw her other children give her life to Jesus. She came in. She still hadn't found him. She was still a little nervous. So we prayed for her at that time. She finished repenting. It's just like, okay, let's get on with this. Wow. Okay, let's get on with this. She finished repenting, giving her life, really saying, God, I can't believe I've done this and you still love me. So she got cleansed there. And then we prayed and said, you know what? I don't know where Pedro is. Pastor Bill doesn't know where he is, but the Lord does. He is not lost. He is found by Jesus, and we're just going to put a demand on that and say, Holy Spirit, find this child for her, because you know where he is. And so we told her that, and we just said, peace to you, peace to you, peace to you. And she was really able to receive that. Why? Because she was in the presence, and she was in the atmosphere of power, peace, joy, righteousness, and the atmosphere was very pregnant at that time for a release of faith in her. So she received and said, okay, all right. And then she left, or realized that she would find him. Well, of course, as soon as she went home, as soon as she left, she found him. It was right immediately. Isn't that great? Not the next day, not 10 hours later, he was down the road a piece doing something or another, and he wasn't snatched by the police or anything else. So, but still, a very dangerous place for a 7-year-old. But immediately, and it was just such a joy to see her say, yeah, just like we prayed, just as we prayed. It was very, very powerful that she had had an encounter with the Lord, and because of that encounter with the Lord, that moved his hand. It's not as though he's saying, all right, when she gets it right, then we'll find the kid. That's just not the nature of God. But there was this encounter that she had. She connected with him. And we had no worship band, no praise team going on here. She just came in. And I said, you know, I said, the Lord really loves you, sweetie. Just loves you so much. And I started praying with her for repentance. And she said, you have no idea what I've done. And I said, I probably have a good idea, but I don't need to know everything you've ever done. But the Lord does, and he's looking at your heart, and he's giving you a new beginning. We have plans for her, for a new job and different things to really help her that are going to be put into motion here in the very near future. Because that's what she asked for, and that's what she wants. I said, what do you want? I want a new job. I want one that's honorable. I want something that I can do so I can take care of my family. I said, what do you want for your kids? I want a better life for them. I don't want them to go through what I've gone through. She started listing. I said, in Jesus' name, it shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Stay close. And then we took her out a few days later. I don't know if you saw this while we were gone or not, but... Oh, you guys, okay, so you know who it is. So we took her shopping, and, I mean, the food piled over her cart, and it was amazing just to watch her go pick out meat, go pick out something. And then when we were ready to check out, I said, since you saw it, you know, Juliana, I said, Juliana, and it was way, she's never had anything like this. I said, go back and pick out something for yourself. She goes, no, Mary, no. I said, yes, Juliana, yes. Yes. I win on this one. She just looked at me like, what? I said, so go back, get a couple things, whatever. So she came back with a few personal things, and she just looked at me. And that was it. It was like, wow. She just experienced such a depth of Father's love, Father's heart. And you know, God is saying, when you encounter me, that's what will change. Situations in your family, situations in your life, and even bring healing to situations in your body. I texted Brazil about this little girl with the tumor in her neck to find out if it was cancerous or what the deal was. And Pastor Jerseo found out that it could become cancerous, and there was something that would be there the rest of her life and continue to grow. And the doctors said, there's nothing we can do. And let me just tell you this, because of the atmosphere, the encountering atmosphere of love at that point, and the miracle of this lame guy just walking back and forth, it was so cool. When I went over, I was out in the crowd, and when I went over there, she was just so distressed, holding her baby, and so, I don't know how much you could pick up from that. And then she said, it's right here, I can't, this won't go away, this tumor won't go away. And I said, okay. She's, I said, can I feel it? So she's pushing the hair back and, you know, of my hair, actually. And then I'm feeling this. I could feel this thing. And just said, I curse this in Jesus' name. You die. I just gave it back. And Jesus bring healing, whatever. And gave the baby back. And she's, she knows her kid. So she's turning the baby different ways than she could. And then tears just started coming down. It was so precious. And then we invited her to come up to the front. And I don't know how much you could see up there, but the tears were coming down. Because what the doctors could not do, Jesus did. On the spot, immediately for her. Yeah. So just to give you a word, just while we're on resurrection charge here, just look, if you will, really quickly in a familiar passage in in Luke, at the end of the message here, which would be chapter 24, if you can turn to that. We're believing today for the Lord to continue to show himself strong, not just in Brazil, but here. And I believe that he's raising our faith level. He's raising the bar, so to speak. And he's saying, just expect. Just expect. You saw some people expect in Brazil, and you saw what happened. Just expect. God is good. So at the very end of the beautiful story, true story, I count it would be a better way of saying it, in Luke 24, Jesus in verse 36, while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, peace be to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. And verse 38 says, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, Have you anything to eat? Yes. Verse 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. And now he said, can you imagine this scene? And I know we've seen movies, we've read it in the Bible, we've seen it acted out, we've thought about it. This is probably not new for most of us here. But I, when I read something like this, I always try to think, man, I wish I was one of those guys. I just to sit there and go, holy moly, Jesus just came in here. Wow, this is so cool. And he wants something to eat? Can I feed him? Can I give him the fish? Whatever. They're just totally amazed that they were still amazed, probably in total shock. But can you imagine what was running through their hearts and minds? And he hadn't done anything yet other than show up, other than be alive, other than come through the wall. You know, just a few things like that. Verse 44, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. In his grace, he said it over and over and over and over in all of the Gospels. And here again, because of his grace and mercy, he said it again. The same thing that he said numerous times, but this time it had happened. This time there was a fulfillment. This time it was over. This time it was finished. And when Jesus said, as Pastor Bill mentioned during worship, it is finished, or we sang, it is finished, Jesus was saying, ta-da! That's what he was doing. Ta-da! That's how I felt, humbly felt, when that lame man walked in front of the church, because Pastor Bill was giving a call. He had been singing over them and preaching, and he had been giving a call for Father's love to enter into people in a greater place, into the places where they just didn't really know his love, that the circumstances in their life would so bother them that they could cry at a drop of a hat, that they couldn't get above it. They would try, but then they'd come back like this. They would try and then go back again. And they would try. And that was the problem, that they were trying so hard, but yet the Father's love had not penetrated those places. You should have seen the looks on their faces when they all, a lot of them came up in the front. They were still trying to receive. It's like, whoa. And let me tell you, as I went down the line, because I thought, well, what am I supposed to do in this, Lord? I'm just kind of hanging here. Did you want me to do something? And if he doesn't tell me, I don't want to do anything. But he did. And he said, just go up and I start over here and just put your hand on them. Okay. And I'm not so fluent in Portuguese yet. I'm getting there. But I just started praying for them. They were just hard. And not that everybody that I touch has to go woo or anything like that. I don't mean it that way. I just mean that they were, just kind of there. And it was like that. Now, these are the same people who were just about to watch. Now, this is the catch. Just about to watch this former lame man parade, literally, right in front of them. And I get to have the privilege of taking him by my arm and then watching him do it on his own. Watching the miracle unfold right in front of my eyes, right in front of their eyes. And they're trying to receive the Father's love. Can you see this? The Lord was saying, okay, this guy here sang over you. He preached an amazing message. And you're trying, you want something, but it's just, you're still not connecting. What is it? Well, I don't have the answer to that for their lives. But they were not connecting. So what did Jesus decide to do? I think I'll heal a few people. Why not? And so he starts walking up and down, and the lady comes up, and we had a bunch of testimonies after that, with the baby and other things. And they started to loosen up. And we stayed after for a long time after that service, and everybody, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Can you pray? But there was this softness that came because they were witnessing again, hearing, seeing, witnessing. And you know what happened? The belief level raised. The belief level raised, the receiving level raised, the belief in receiving level raised, and the enemy was put to task. He was put out. And it was just such a picture to me of what's happening here. You got these disciples who just went through, hell on earth, really, watching Jesus die. Can you imagine that? And this is their king. And they've heard all this stuff before. They have heard, hey, I've got to die. Peter, don't cut the ear off. Not a good thing. Come on. This has to happen. I know you love me, but you're doing it in your own strength, buddy. I did not tell you to do that. You did not get that from the Father. Didn't you know that I came to reveal the Father? That's why I came. So, I know I'm depending on him, not you. So that's what was happening here. So they're in the upper room going, what do I do? What do I do? Or getting close for that. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And Jesus says, I think I'll just make a little appearance. And they had already heard that he had risen. There were already people who walked on Emmaus Road. There were a lot of other appearances. So they had some knowledge of this, but yet it wasn't a working knowledge of encounter in the heart. Big difference. Back up to Brazil. Man walking without his cane. Man now receiving the full promise. And I'll tell you, this is not in the video. I said, I prayed for him and took the cane and all that, back in the crowd. And I said, let's walk. He said, oh, I know. I said, oh, yeah, come on. Come on, let's go. Come on. Took him with me. And he walked. And he walked. And he walked. And he walked. He needed something. He needed that support, that encouragement. There was no force, but he needed that at that moment. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And then he did it on his own. Jesus said, you can do this. I released this to you already. It is finished. You can. You can do this. You can believe. You can believe. You can receive. You can have. You can receive from me. The fullness of your promises. Wow. Think about what's going on in your own life. Think about what's going on in your own world. Hold fast to the promises of God. Hold fast to everything that he has said. Hold fast to what you don't understand. Hold fast and say, Lord, I am willing to wait. And if I'm in torment while I'm waiting, there's a problem. The Lord says, peace be to you when he entered. Peace be to you. Peace be to you. To finish it up, peace be to you. I love it. Peace be to you. Why are you troubled? Why did doubts arise in your heart? take this with you as you leave today, when you go to your families or whatever you're doing. Peace be to you. Peace be to you. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise? Can't you see? Here I am. Even in his graciousness, here I am. And then finally in verse 44, after he ate the broiled fish, these are my words which I spoke to you. I read this already. Let me read that again. While I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and prophets and the Psalms might be fulfilled. Verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Wow. I have wow written in my Bible. Verse 45, I wrote it there sometime. He opened their minds to understand the scripture. He did it. He opened their minds because they were willing, and he loves them, and he came to reveal himself. Just as he revealed himself to the people on the road to Emmaus prior to that, in at the beginning of verse chapter 24, he opened their minds. But he saw that they were willing, just as the man was willing to take my arm and walk. And then he received the fulfillment of his promise and his miracle. Isn't that beautiful? And verse 46, to close it, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. You have a job. You are witnesses. You are eyewitnesses. We are witnesses. Our spirits now bear witness with these things. And the Lord says that there's no room for doubt. There's no room for fear. There's no room for unbelief. There's no room for complaining during the times we are waiting, because we are witnesses of those things. So when we doubt and when we fear and when we don't believe, we need to immediately go back and say, thank you for drying my tears. Thank you that I dare to believe. Thank you. I'll just go read the passage from Luke again so that I can enter back in to the place that the enemy tried to steal from me, which would be the faith to believe that it is finished and that you have done it for me. Amen? Is that a good word? Amen. And finally, in verse 49, and behold, I'm in sending forth the promise of my Father unto you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. He led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Continually in the temple praising God. We are temples. He lives in us. We are to be continually praising him whenever that fear, that doubt, or unbelief would start to rise, because the enemy knows just this much of what it is finished really looks like. But he doesn't want us to know that. When you speak to your children and you say Jesus lives in their heart, tell them that Jesus ascended and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and that the Holy Spirit lives inside of them, and that develops in them the very heart and nature of Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus is evident. Jesus comes. He can go anywhere he wants. But so that they understand that they live because he lives inside of them in its Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ himself, his presence is in them in Holy Spirit. But help them see that they can develop a relationship with Holy Spirit, and he's not just he's not a power. He is a person. It's very important in this season. You can help them understand the true meaning of resurrection celebration. Amen. So I just want to pray as we close here, just send you out. Make sure you get one of those yellow scrolls. I want to pray for anyone who has been sick, and we're just going to close in prayer so you can go on and be with your families and do what you're wanting to do to celebrate today. And may you be blessed richly, and may you be encouraged. And if you are visiting, and if you don't have a home church, we invite you to come and be part of us. The Lord brought you here for a reason. And if you have a home church, God bless you, and take back to that place more faith, more empowerment for you to rise up and to be able to be a blessing, because you are witnesses of what God has done both here and Brazil. Because you saw it. Amen? So, Father, if you're sick in the house, just raise your hand and wave it. If there's anything, any problem that you have, I see that Richard's here. We're just going to continue to believe for you. If there's anybody else, if you have Adonna's back here, is there anybody else who has some issues or whatever? Issues or whatever. Anything that's not in the kingdom. Okay. So we're just going to raise our hands and we're going to see what God will do. You know, sometimes he says, go touch them all. Other times he says, pray, and they are able to receive and believe what I have. So Father, in Jesus' name, because you are resurrected and you are on the throne, Father, I thank you that the power of heaven is here to release everyone from their infirmity, from their ailment, from their sickness, from their disease, from everything, Father, that it does not belong to them, but we say it is touching them. That's why we say your. But it does not belong to you unless you want it to. The Lord says, release it. Say, I don't want any part of this. In Jesus' name, I declare it and I give it to you. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that nothing other than your kingdom presence and kingdom power has a right to stay in these bodies. In the powerful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the great release from heaven to earth. It's just like, come on. That's just what Jesus is. And it's his power. Last night I was in Walmart really late. I did go over there, guys. And I was a man in a wheelchair, cart.